with the Scuttlebutts, fresh off a win, and an expected one at that. But it's always fun to do the show, and it's especially fun to do the show when the Bucks win and lengthen the separation with the rest of a piss-poor division. And it's going to be a rocking chair win for the division, Tom Lang. As before we get started, I should note that our friends at Bill Curry Ford, as always, doing the right thing, sponsoring the Scuttle Bucks. And if you want to do the right thing, perhaps you're interested in a new lease, maybe you decide for the holiday season it's time to get a new truck or something along those lines. As we like to mention, go see our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, the GM there, you can find his email on the website. He'll work with you personally. Ask him for the Joe Bucks fan discount, and they'll step in. Mention the Scuttle Bucks, however you want to do it. He'll help you out. He'll talk about the Bucks in the interim. And you'll drive out of there with a beautiful new truck. Bill Curry Ford, the sponsor of the Scuttlebucks. So, I said before the year, when you're fresh off of a Super Bowl victory and you're ahead of the game, that you know, all you're playing for the rest of the next season is to see if you can win back-to-back. There's nothing else. And so you kind of endure. I think it's probably good for your constitution not to worry as much as a lot of my friends do. My friends worry from game to game. My mother is a massive Bucks fan. Every game is unto itself a worry festival if they're not playing well, if they miss a throw. And I tend to look at it from a skyscraper. I tend to look at big-picture stuff. Now, I'm going to pay attention to the details and the minutiae. I'm going to look at the down-to-down, the series-to-series, the game-to-game while it's happening. But I try to put it into the context of, we're just playing for back-to-back Super Bowls here. So if you got to get healthy, get healthy. If you're going to have a bump in the road and you're going to work some things out along the way while you're doing that in order to be better at the very end of the season than you are currently, well, okay, all right, I'll live with that. And sometimes when you do that, you lose games or you look bad, you look poor, you don't play well. You know, there's going to be hiccups. It's a long season. Look around. It happens to everybody, no matter their perceived greatness or otherwise. So I don't get too worried about it. And I think it's a healthier way to go through the season, because that's the gift that you were given last year, was that the Bucks won the Super Bowl in year one of the go. Right? We said they hit go and said, screw it. We're giving up on any potential future that Jameis Winston has. We are going in with Tom Brady because we think our time to shine is right now. We have a veteran-laden club, we've got talent, and we have the means. Let's invest and go try to win a Super Bowl. And they accomplished it. We all thought it might take 2 years to get there. It took one. Now you're just playing for two. So no matter what happens during the weeks, when you watch this, as long as they're not falling off a cliff, and they're not, you got to be pretty pleased with where they sit.
Yeah, I think the urgency week to week comes in watching the NFC standings and trying to get the first round bye. Because we've been so banged up this year, too. You know, it's not just the fact that at many key positions we are a veteran club. It's that these guys are all banged up, and they're all taking turns in some way, shape, or form on the injury report. And that gets old after a while. Like, our roster is a little bit old in some positions. So if you could give yourself an extra week where you finish the season, we're playing the Jets, the Panthers, and then you'd have a bye week after that, basically you can give a sucker a month off if he needs it, if you can go get the bye. Now, that's where, again, the arms race, it gets really tough week to week, and you do care more about the results as though we were on the hunt and we did not achieve the Super Bowl last year. But you're right. Grand scheme, I like our chances. We're hosting Wild Card Weekend. You win a division, you're going to do that. So I like our chances to make it to the divisional round. From there, it's, do you go to Lambeau? Do you host the game? Do you go out to Arizona? What do those teams look like at that point? But if you can help yourself and not have to play an extra game after a 17-game regular season, that would be great. But to that end, this is the icing on the cake year, and you probably have another one or two behind it, because one of the big things that happened this weekend beyond the result to me was the announcement that the NFL salary cap is going to go up $22 million. Or maybe it was $26. Whatever it is, it's going up a huge amount of money that's going to see us have a greater capability to retain the talent on this roster year over year. And that extends your window out. With every week, it looks like Tom Brady is the same age. He's not getting older.
It's crazy.
He's stuck at 35. Wherever it is, whatever that age is, he is not getting older. So I get more and more bullish about the long term when I hear that the salary cap is going up, and he continues to look like a fresh, young buck of a quarterback, not an old fogey who is one last ride like Peyton Manning was with the Broncos the year that they won the Super Bowl.
No, and you know, my only complaint when I watch Tom Brady, this version of Tom Brady, and maybe it's just because he's been the greatest quarterback to ever play, and thus every game begins with me having an over-the-top expectation that there are no throws that he can't make. some of the standard throws that he misses, absolutely, I find myself completely beleaguered. He misses, and again, understand that this is really an over-the-top criticism for a guy who otherwise is a top-five quarterback still in the league at this point. And in terms of decision-making and leadership and everything else, of course, he's the guy. And I wouldn't want anybody else. I got you. But man, this year in particular, more than last year, Tom. Last year, there were a lot of miscommunication plays where you understood they were learning together and they were mixing and matching the offenses and trying to figure out who was what. He just straight misses throws on to wide open people. Go back to the beginning of this game, Gronk in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
That happens more this year than it did last, and I'm worried about that, frankly.
Yeah, it happens more this year, but marginally. You know, I think there were key moments last season where you could point to different times of the season. He's making throws to the sideline, and it'll go 10 yards over the receiver's head. Remember that? It would like almost go into the first row of the stands.
Yeah.
And the NFL stadiums are wide. They're built to fill, you know, have soccer fields on them as well. And then there was Green Bay second half. I mean, the Evans interception on the deflection that's a ridiculous throw. You make that throw, it's a touchdown. We're not sweating out the finish of that game. It's the front four that finishes the job for us. There are some other examples. He didn't play great against New Orleans. And frankly, in the Super Bowl, it was the defense that stood more tall than the
offense. But he was smart. Now, you knew he wasn't going to do anything dumb because he didn't
Correct.
Need to. He understood the situation, which is what I always trust, by the way. Situational awareness.
Yes. Yeah. He's never going to panic. I mean, and there are times in the past month on this podcast that I've called for a little bit more fire. When it looks like we sleptwalked through the week, bad practices and such, just that's what it looks like. I don't see the practices, but after two or three drives, you're like, are we here?
Yeah. Do we care to play today, guys?
I would like to see the red ass that used to throw like the thing at McDaniels.
The
Remember,
iPad.
He'd pick up the iPad, he'd chuck it at McDaniels, and he'd have a fit. Everybody always let that go. He did it once or twice last year on the sidelines. Once in Tampa, I recall. But you really haven't seen that much out of Tom this year. But overall, like one of the things I was looking for this weekend was, and he checked the first box really quickly, greater rapport with Godwin and Evans.
Well, you got that one.
Well, you got that with Godwin, especially. He sets the franchise record for most receptions in a game, and he's going to be bruised and battered this week. Hopefully, he'll be ready to go for the Buffalo game. But then with Evans, two key moments in this game that don't stand out because...
Well, the third down catch is incredible.
There are two of them.
Yeah.
In the second quarter, a third and eight.
Yeah.
In the third quarter, a third and seven.
That third and seven one, to me, was huge.
Huge catches. Not perfect throws, but it's a playmaker making a play.
Well, one of them's just basically
it's a shoot
impromptu. Top. Yeah, and that wasn't the route.
Correct. And there are two or three others that he made as well. There was one in the red zone, I think, on a back shoulder, whatever it is. But you wanted to see that Brady would trust to make that throw in the moment, and Mike could go be a plus player in that situation. I know that both of them can do, and both of them are those things separately, but you haven't seen a ton of that together in tandem with the two of them in some key moments. And the game was still in the balance in the third and eight and the third and seven when Mike makes those catches and extends the drives. The drive that ended with the Gronk touchdown, which is another great throw.
Great throw.
The Gronk spike is absurd too. I'm not talking about the one up the seams, the one on the right.
Yes, yes, yes.
That drive is all because of the Mike Evans catch
Correct.
That extends it.
Correct. I have a question. If you're growing concerned about anything and you're a Bucs fan listening to this, it's that this team on third down continues to give up inexplicable third and 16s, third and 14s, third and 18s. I mean, it's not safe. Our third down defense is ass. It drives me nuts. And I get it. Everybody's talked about it. I've read extensively about it. The halftime speech that inspired the troops from Todd Bowles to get after it and take care of business in the second half is what led to a much better performance. I just don't – I find that odd that, A, it's necessary, and then, B, I just find our third down defense troubling on the regular. It's something that carries over every week. Now, again, once you get a lead and you start becoming very, very predictable, the Bucs are going to have success in getting after you. And so the overall numbers may not do justice what I'm saying here about third down.
Right,
but
like
you're a Bucs fan, you know what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah, like you see the sack total, you're like, what are you talking about? The pass rush is clearly working.
Right.
Well, no.
You're right.
There was also a sequence, and we ended up getting the stop there that just before the pick six towards the end of the half, which, I mean, Jesus.
Ridiculous.
Yes, that situational management was awful. And I saw that Ira wrote the column on Joe Bucs Fan that said it's all on Byron. BS. Tom Brady's the one that's rushing you to the huddle. After that first down play is a disaster, and Evans and Godwin collide, and it looks like it's going to be, I don't know what the hell is going to happen, but nothing good. There's 20 seconds to go or 28, and Brady's rushing everybody to the line. 12 in that moment could be like, what are we doing?
Well,
we're
going
to go 90 yards? We're going to go 90 yards in 28 seconds?
Stop it.
Yeah. So that's on 12 as well. But the point being, the second and 18 was the key one there. The Bucs end up getting a stop, but it's a second and 18 that Atlanta converts on.
Yeah.
In addition to third and 7, third and 10, third and 12.
Yeah, I think the second and long, third and long conversions, there's something fundamentally wrong with what we're doing from a pressure standpoint. Also, when we drop, you know what I hate. I've already talked about this. But
although Barrett did make a play dropping into coverage.
A miracle.
It happened.
It happened for the first time this year.
Yeah,
it's a miracle. Also, only other thing to note here while we're talking about an otherwise easy breezy win for the Bucs and very predictable, and that is they, unfortunately, especially since he did what he did and he's got his history that he does, it does appear that you're going to need Antonio Brown to be on this team if you're going to win a Super Bowl. I do think that's going to have to happen. Our desperate search for a third receiver, it continues to be just that. Did you see the snap counts? We always do this on the show. We go back and look at snap counts.
Yeah.
I went back and right after the game, actually. I didn't even wait till Monday morning. I wanted to see exactly because Perryman played in 59 snaps. Mm-hmm. 84% of the snaps he was on the field as the third receiver. Tyler Johnson played 9 snaps.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What the hell's going on there?
Yeah, that's, you could argue to a degree that they want to integrate Perryman and just have him ready to go for the stretch run, but then you wouldn't want the disparity to be that great between him and Tyler Johnson.
No, and Scotty Miller in 4 snaps.
Yeah, I know. That's, I was wondering before looking at the snap count, did he even play?
4 snaps. Didn't remember him playing either.
Well, the last week, that was another thing I wanted to see this weekend, was a continuation of who's going to stretch the field. And it should be Scotty, because if not for the defensive hold on Indianapolis last week, it's a touchdown.
Right.
It's a 37-yard penalty instead. It's a good penalty taken by the defender. But I'd love to see that throw was where it should have been, and Scotty was where he should be as well. It looked like the rapport had been built again. And you need that over-the-top threat to open up all the underneath stuff for Evans, Godwin, Gronk at all. But yet Scotty didn't follow up that performance with another, I mean, 4 snaps.
4 snaps. And listen, the Perryman thing is, I agree with you, they're trying to integrate him into the offense. Well, it failed. He had 1 catch. I mean, that's, you're out on the field for 59 snaps and you have 1 catch for 5 yards?
Right, and Brady's throwing the ball 50 times, yeah.
That's not, no. Also, my other concern, and we talked about it earlier this year, and now it just becomes abundantly clear, O.J. Howard is no longer going to be a part of anything that they're doing in Tampa Bay. That dude played 6 snaps.
Yeah, it was a bust of a draft pick. We're done with it.
Well, I actually believe, again, that he was about to be great. That he had already started that way. We talked about the Chargers game a year ago.
Sure.
This is an Achilles injury that, you know, look, I'm going to give the guy a bit of a break here. This is less about him not living up to the billion. I think he was on the verge of doing that. It's incredibly unfortunate that this version has not allowed him to be really at all meaningful in this offense. And I thought if he got all the way back healthy, how evil would it be to have Gronk and O.J. Howard at your disposal?
Right. Now, Brady could have elevated him if the injury did not happen, and we would be talking about O.J. Howard very differently. But I think that's also a function of all the other weapons in the roster. Like, you're allowed to, if you're a top 20 pick in the NFL draft as a tight end, be dominant without all the extra help. He's a dumb football player. He was for Dirk. He was in the Jameis offense. Mm-hmm. There were times where Dirk, he schemed things wide open for O.J., and that's where the pure athleticism would show. But, you know, Kyle Pitts looks a little bit different as a football player than this guy.
Right.
Where it looks like in day one, I mean, he's already setting records and benchmarks, top 5 in this category, top 3 in that category for catches and yards as a rookie tight end. When you draft a guy that early at that position, that's what you're expecting. Not somebody who finally the light bulb comes on for in year 4 or year 5. That's just, that's not good enough. That's a bust.
Yeah, it didn't work out. I firmly believe he would have been well on his way. I think had that injury not occurred, we were about to see what he could really be. It's just unfortunate.
It's a good thing Cam came back with a pay cut.
Yeah. Oh,
ends up being a big piece of the puzzle.
Well, and I've always loved Cam. We all have. I think any Bucs fan loves Cam Brate because he's selfless, works hard, smart, is where he is supposed to be at all times, will catch the ball in traffic and take an ass kicking. He's a tough dude.
Always.
Always has been. I admire him. Yeah. 13 snaps in this game, 19%. He was, you know, I mean, look, Gronk is a superstar. That's all there is to it. He is in the run game. He absolutely changes everything, although we just decided early on we were not going to run the ball. We were going to go into a bunch of 3 receiver sets and we were going to throw it, which is fine with me because it worked, and that's the diversity of the Bucs offense when they need it to be. Leonard Fournette's a star on this team. He's become an elite player for this group. Catches the ball, blocks well,
really good
runs
hands.
Hard. Yeah.
He doesn't get a lot of perfect passes. That's the other thing from Brady that, you know, just reputationally speaking, and if you ever drafted James White on your fantasy team any time for the last 10 years, you'd think, well, those checkdowns are going to be perfectly placed from day one. No, it's always a fastball. It's always a million miles an hour, and you've got to make an adjustment on the ball with not a lot of time to do it because it's 6 yards in front of the line of scrimmage. And Lenny just handles it. He makes quick adjustments, soft hands. He's able to do so while still moving, so he doesn't have to completely stop and start.
He's become,
there's a fluidity to his game as a pass catcher.
He's become the guy that Jacksonville thought they had and why they drafted him. And
You may have to pay him.
That was a good pickup. It was a really good pickup.
Flash forward to 3 months from now. Yeah. Like, you may have to consider giving him a lot of money on a short-term basis.
Well, at the start of every game these days, teams have decided you're not going to beat us down the field, and so Tom will just hit Fournette with one of the two or three first plays of the game, and he'll go 15 yards.
Yes, that's something that's important. I was looking at Brady's numbers last night after they populated, and his air yards per attempt and his yards per attempt, both numbers, are down compared to last year.
Yeah.
Because defenses saying,
said, no, you're not
screw
beating
you.
Well, last year he led the league, didn't he? I mean, at one point he did.
Yeah,
At one point he did. He was going down the field. He can still make those throws, but teams have said, you're not going to do that to us. And that's fine. I do think some of that changes with Antonio Brown in the lineup.
It does, but what you're seeing now is almost like a reversion, a regression, and not in a bad way.
Right.
It's just it went
what
from
he did in New England.
Dink and dunk New England last year to what are we doing? Air it out, and that's what they did from about December onward, and this year the league is forcing us to be somewhere in the middle. Where Brady, I mean, it's healthy. At last check, I think it was 7.8, 7.6 on the air yards and the regular yards per attempt, that's a healthy number. But with the Bucs' offense and the weapons and the reputation, you would think that number would be in the mid-8s. But there's a lot more dink and dunk to this offense, and it was a perfect example yesterday. Atlanta said, prove it, and Brady's like, sure, no problem, I can prove it.
Moving forward, you're going to obviously need to continue to try to get healthy. We have an injury every week in the secondary. I swear to God, if I didn't know they were tough dudes, I'd question their toughness, because every week it's somebody in that secondary that goes down.
That
I get it. It's a concussion.
This time.
I know. I get it. It's always something. I mean, that's unbelievable. It's just unlucky.
Well, it was great to get Davis back. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that at the time of the taping last week.
No, we didn't.
And that came down Friday afternoon that he would be active. He was rusty to start. And then by the middle of the game, you saw it. Like, he's not always going to win a foot race to a spot, is Carlton Davis, but he's really good with his hand placement.
He also played in almost every snap of the game. So he's back. He is back. I'm not so sure Scotty Miller's healthy. When we're talking about guys not playing, playing, people we want back, because you only roll a guy out there for four plays. Something might come up. There's no way that you would have seen. I guess. I mean, again, you said it earlier, and you're right. We're not at practice. But Perryman decided what? Well, Perryman had to play 60 snaps, but Scotty Miller's going to play four? That doesn't make any sense. That struck me as odd. Not upset. Easy win for the Bucs. That's all you wanted was an easy win. They got the easy win. They should have a lot of them. We're going to talk more about that Bills game later in the week, so this one is just a look back, and the next one will be a look ahead to that game.
It'll be a fun one on Friday, because tonight, at the time of this taping on a Monday, you've got Bills and Patriots.
Great,
it's going to be cold and windy. Apparently there's no snow anymore, but our mutual friend, who also grew up in the Tampa Bay area, I went to high school with, his weather report, Kevin Roth is his name. You can use him for daily fantasy purposes.
It's a smart thing to do.
Baseline sustained winds of 25 miles an hour and gusts upward of 40 to 45 miles an hour to start this game. That's what the first half forecast calls for as of this morning. That is going to be a physical ground and pound game by definition between New England and Buffalo. And Buffalo is on a short week. We do kick off at 4:30 in the afternoon this weekend, but still, you get an extra day of rest against a Buffalo team that's going to be playing for the division, the number one overall seed. That's what tonight's about in the AFC East and the AFC at large, because the Patriots at the beginning of the day are the number one seed in the conference. Don't look now. And Buffalo could overtake them with a win. So they're going to air it out tonight, and you should be getting a little bit more of a beleaguered Bills team this Sunday.
Yeah, and I would note, this does not shape up well for the Bills. They have had a hard time running the football.
Yes, they have.
And they're going against a defense that will stop the run.
This is a Josh Allen carries it 15 to 20 times game if you're going to win it, if the weather holds as is forecasted.
Man, is that fun. A lot of good stuff there. One more reminder to go see our friends at Bill Curry Ford, as always, they are the proud sponsor. I say they're proud, Tom. I don't know. They may not be proud of us.
They should be.
I agree. I'm kidding.
We're the best live reads in the JoeBucksFan.com podcast.
I didn't want to put words in their mouth. So maybe you need a new Ford truck. You want out of your lease, whatever it might be. Reach out directly to Bill Curry Ford General Manager Sean Sullivan. He'll help you personally. You can stop by the Bill Curry Ford lot, which is beautiful. It's just 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway there in Tampa. Huge Bucks fans. Vita Bay is there. Ali Marpet's there. Not when you go. They won't be there when you go, but they sometimes go because they buy their vehicles there. It's good stuff. Bill Curry Ford has nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And remember, Sean Sullivan will help you personally. Ask for the Joe Bucks Fan discount. BillCurryFord.com to check out the inventory. Thanks so much to them. T. Lizzie, we're going to call it a day for now. Come back and preview Bucks Bills later in the week. Looking forward to it. But for now, so long. Easy breezy win over the Falcons. Get you some, Atlanta. Suck it. That's the end of that. More.
You Falcons suck.
Yeah. More Scuttle Bucks later in the week. Peace.